Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 11 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and we're celebrating Thanksgiving Day today. My 20th consecutive live Thanksgiving Day, and I want to share my traditional Thanksgiving Day story with you. It's just you and me right now. You know, folks, as the 17th century dawned, cause and effect was merging two parallel universes. In the old world, laden separatists were making decisions that would put them on a circuitous journey. Meanwhile, in the new world, a man-child named Tisquantum was born to the Patuxet tribe, part of the Wampanoag Confederation of Tribes. But the Separatists and Tisquantum became very important to the future of mankind, but not before their lives would change and intertwine in ways not to be imagined by the inhabitants of either world. He was born in what is now Massachusetts, and his father named him Tisquantum. The Wampanoag, which means Eastern people, inhabited much of what became known as New England. In 1605, Captain George Weymouth thought investors would like to see real live Indians, so he lured three of them onto his ship and took them back to England. One of the kidnapped was Tisquantum. In England, Tisquantum eventually came to live with Sir Fernando George, a New World explorer and financier. George taught Tisquantum English and employed him to be a guide and interpreter of his sea captains. Tisquantum, he was now called Squanto, you know that story, was brought back to America, his second trip across the Atlantic, in 1614 to assist in the mapping of New England. But Squanto's greatest flaw, the inability to know which Englishman to trust, kept getting him in trouble, and incredibly, he was kidnapped along again with a couple of dozen other Indians, and this time was taken to Spain, his third trip across the Atlantic. A group of friars discovered what was going on and took Squanto and the other Indians and taught them Christianity. He lived with them for a while and then went and boarded a ship to Newfoundland, his fourth trip across the Atlantic. And in another twist of fate, Squanto ran into an associate of his, remember Sir Fernando George, took Squanto back across the Atlantic, now the fourth time, willingly this time, and was actually now his fifth time, I should say, across the Atlantic for his second round trip. Now trilingual, right? Squanto was a unique resource. He spoke the Indian language and English and Spanish. He was a unique resource, and George once again employed his Indian friend to return to America to map the coastline that was familiar to him. This was now his sixth trip across the Atlantic in his third round trip. When he got back home, he made a shocking discovery that during his absence, the people, his entire village and many of his other people were wiped out in an epidemic a couple of years before. Well, as Squanto was making that last trip, a group of colonists were planning their first. These plans came to fruition on September 6th, 1620, when the Mayflower, the 90-foot Mayflower, set sail from Plymouth, England. The Mayflower manifest recorded the names of 110 passengers and crew, including 37 laden separatists, also known as the Pilgrims. Demographically, the Mayflower passengers were an unlikely group and a contentious gaggle, though in the minority, the Pilgrims, the laden separatists, treated their fellow passengers with condescension and actually called them the Others or the Strangers. But there was one common thread that bound them all together. Each one had embarked on this courageous adventure to claim new prospects in the new world. Well, landfall came for the Mayflower on the 66th day at sea at the tip of Cape Cod, and they wound up in an Indian burial ground and got run out of there by some Indians. Indians don't like it when you go across their burial grounds. And after they left there, they went back to the Mayflower, and that's when they created what's now called the Mayflower Compact, which was a set of rules show it to tell them how they would behave around each other. The Mayflower Compact, a very important document in the history of America, and that happened between their first landfall at Provincetown on the tip of Cape Cod, and when they finally landed a few days later on Christmas Day in 1620, they finally landed on the mainland of Massachusetts in a place they called Plymouth. And there's a rock there. I've seen it. And this course is called the Plymouth Rock. And that's where they landed. Well, the first winter was cruel. They were there. They landed on Christmas Day. That was a tough winter. If you've been to Massachusetts in the winter, it's cold up there. So by March of 1621, less than half of the Mayflower contingent remained alive. Think about that. In 3 months, they'd lost half their people through starvation, through disease, and through the weather. But with all their misfortune, they were about to discover something for which they would later be very thankful. On March 16th, the Indian named Somerset walked into the colonist camp and greeted them with, "Hello, English." Somerset was a Monhegan leader Monhegan Indian tribe from what is now called the state of Maine, and he was hunting in the area. Even though he spoke some English, he recognized that these sad-looking folks needed more help than he could give them. So, remember our trilingual world-traveling orphan Squanto? Well, it turns out that the colonists had set up their settlement on the very spot where Squanto's village had been. So Samoset brought Squanto to the colonists, to the pilgrims, and during the rest of the year, 1621, he befriended them and taught them how to fish, grow crops, and survive in the new land. And, of course, we know that the rest is history. So here's the thing that I wanted. Here's the moral of this story. Without Samoset's initial and Squanto's sustained benevolence, it's generally accepted that the pilgrims probably would have suffered more famine over the next year, likely resulting in the failure of the Mayflower expedition. Now, remember, there have been failures up and down. There was a failure in Florida. The French failed in Florida. The English failed in Jonestown. There have been all kinds of failures. So these two men helping these pilgrims the way they did, the humanity that they showed them, think about that. Thanks to their humanity, the first harvest was bountiful, and in October 1621, they decided to set aside a day to give thanks for their blessings. Squanto was invited, and he brought other Indians with him, and they had the first Thanksgiving Day in America. But here are the cause and effect questions. What if Squanto had not been kidnapped and taken to live in Europe? What if he'd not learned English or ultimately endeavored to return to his home? But more importantly, what if Squanto had not been of good heart and had not befriended the people who arguably were the most important early colonial seeds in the American harvest and the American country known as the United States of America? If the success of the Mayflower expedition was important to the ultimate settlement of America, it takes no great leap of logic to see how an individual made a difference in the success of the United States and ultimately the world. This week I give thanks for Squanto, one person who chose to do good and made a positive difference in the lives of many. And if Squanto can do it, you and I can too. Happy Thanksgiving, my friends. Now go forth and do good.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.